Ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, Feed My People Food Bank celebrates a $3 million expansion, more than doubling their storage space on the west side of Eau Claire. Plus, meet Mike Lindell, the founder and president of MyPillow, and author of the book, What Are the Odds? From a Crack Addict to CEO. And he launches the Lindell Recovery Network. That's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WDOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Yet again this holiday season, WWIB and WDOGO are launching the 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign. At Feed My People, a single dollar given provides $10 worth of food. Feed My People recently celebrated a huge expansion from 19,000 square feet of storage for food to 45,000 square feet. The whole project cost $3 million. On Friday's WIB Wake-Up Show, Suzanne Becker, assistant director at Feed My People, was joined by Jen Robertson, who runs the food pantry at Altoona High School. She told us about it.
We send out weekend meals to our high school and middle school students, and we were recognized as one of the growing food pantries in the area, which was, I guess, the first ever school-based food pantry, which was awesome. And it was so welcome because with growing so much, we were kind of outgrowing our funding that we had and were struggling to get food to students, and this helped us be able to provide that food.
And it was really, really great to go in there, and you had students helping us unload the food and stack things on shelves and that, and I loved how you really got the students involved in the process. That was really a neat thing to see. Do they kind of stay involved, or was that just like a one day come and help out?
No, our students are involved. In fact, I'm pretty hands-off with it. The students help pick out the food that we order from Feed My People. They're there unpacking every week when the truck comes in, stocking the shelves and loading up the bags for the other students. It's a way for them to give back to their school and for them to see the impact of the need in our community.
Wow. And how many, you said you do the weekend backpack meals. How many do you send out each week, roughly?
Right now, I was just telling Suzanne that we are up to 20, which is kind of high for this time of the year. We usually add kids as we go along. Last year, we ended at 20. Mm-hmm. So I expect that need to grow even more, especially with the report that came out recently saying that our county is the second in the state for poverty.
Jen Robertson talking with Hillary Roth and Caleb Swenson and myself, Mark Halverson, on Friday's WIB Wake Up Show about Feed My People Food Bank and what's going on at Altoona High School. She talks about the impact of hunger on students who are trying to learn.
Yeah, so people think that when kids come to school, everything's fine, but we see kids who come in hungry and tired. I had one student in particular that I recall. She came in and she was tired. She wasn't doing well. She wasn't herself, kind of grumpy. And I pulled her aside after a couple days. And I had asked what was going on, and she said, you know, we have one can of beans in the house for my brother to split, and that's what we've been eating for breakfast and trying to make that last. And those are the students that I'm connecting with the program because we need our students to come in ready to learn, ready to be part of the high school. And when you are sitting in class and all you can think about is how hungry you are, you cannot connect with the learning that the school is offering.
Just amazing.
Yeah, it's just hard to believe, Suzanne, in terms of, you know, for those who are well-fed and well-clothed and well-heated, you just take it for granted. And to hear a powerful tale like what Jen just said, but you're seeing and hearing these stories all the time.
We are. And this is just, I love this campaign because it's such a, it's so inspiring when all your listeners and your sponsors come together for this. And it gives such a needed, important bump this time of the year to many food pantries who serve the students, they serve the seniors, they serve families who are all working hard. They're all trying to do the right thing, and they're just sometimes not being able to make ends meet. And again, this extra bump this time of the year, this is just, it's so needed and it's so appreciated.
So action steps here. Obviously, mm-hmm. We have this campaign going on that people can just go to our website, wwib.com, click on the banner and give. And those are matching the gifts that have already been given. What can we do as regular people day in, day out? What kind of things can we do to support you?
You know, and of course, we've been talking about financial donations, and that's so important. We also are always in need of the gift of time, volunteering. We run on volunteers. Mm-hmm. So important. And there's so many things you can do. You can bring your family. You can bring your kids. You just need to give us a call, and we'll set you up with the right situation. And I always like to say, too, that, you know, share the message of that there are folks that are struggling in our community. Try to share that in your circles. Try to share that there are wonderful people like Jen, like our food pantries that are working to try to come up with a solution for that and just to raise up the folks that are struggling. Nick's our volunteer coordinator. You just give us a call and we'll set you up.
And again, WWIB and WOGO Radio excited to be teaming up with many generous business sponsors to send special truckloads of food from Feed My People to community pantries in need this holiday season. Now's your chance to match what our sponsors have given. You can give right now. You can give this week by clicking on the 60 Ways in 60 Days banner at WIB.com. Thanks so much to these generous sponsors, including Ali Rudd Financial Services in Mondovi, Toyson Ford of Chippewa Falls, Culver's of Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls and Rice Lake, Charter Bank of Eau Claire, Bush & Gillis Furniture of Spooner, Rice Lake and Ladysmith, Marco of Eau Claire, Marquardt Motors and the hometown Chevy dealers, Schumann Cheese of Fall Creek, Hagen Decorating and North Central Insulation of Altoona, Stokes Prock & Munt Funeral Chapel in Altoona, Wynn Family Dentistry of Chippewa Falls, Economy Furniture of Chippewa Falls, Courtesy Auto and Truck Center of Thorpe, Bargain City Superstore in Chippewa Falls, Stockman's Farm Supply and More in Osseo, Smiles in Motion Pediatric Dentistry of Chippewa Falls, Rice Lake, Eau Claire, and Menominee, Cricket Wireless of Eau Claire, Lake Halley, and Menominee, and Kingsway Bible and Gift of Rice Lake. Thanks to all of those terrific sponsors. Let's match what they've given and send out special truckloads of food this holiday season, making a difference. Well, Mike Lindell, he's the founder of MyPillow, and he's got quite a story. He tells it in his latest book, which is What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. And he also helped launch the Lindell Recovery Network. He talked with us recently about his story.
Well, I grew up in Minnesota, and I come from a family. My family divorced when I was 7, back when divorces weren't common. So I got put into a new school, and from that point on, it seems I was either very shy or would do stuff to show off, like climb out bus windows and jump or, at my 5-year reunion, I was too busy bragging about outrunning the cops, 17 tickets in 2 days, and falling asleep on a motorcycle going skydiving, and then my parachute didn't open. And I had all these things happen throughout my life, but then I became a cocaine addict, which switched to crack cocaine in the early 2000s. And so lost a 20-year marriage, and these are things in the book now. Lost a 20-year marriage. These guys were trying to take my pillow, and we were down to making the pillows in our basically labeling them in our living room. And then in 2008, I had a lot of stuff happen, including the drug dealers did an intervention on me in Minneapolis, and three of them came. I was up for 14 days. I came out of the bedroom there in the hood, and I came out and I said, "What are you guys doing?" The one guy says, "Mike's been up for 14 days. We're all cutting you off, or we're cutting you off." And I said, I started to argue. The one guy left. He says he's not getting any from any of my people. And the other one went down to the street. The last guy, I waited till he finally fell asleep, and I headed down to the street about 2:30 in the morning, and I couldn't buy crack anywhere. And I came back upstairs, and he said, "How'd that work out for you?" That was about an hour later. And he said, "Give me your phone. I'm going to take a picture." He said, "You've been telling us for years that this pillow is just a platform for God, and you're going to come back someday and help us all out of this addiction, and we're not going to let you die on us." And that picture is on the cover of my book. It's a hologram, which goes from where I was then to where I am now.
Mike, how did prayer play a role in your recovery? Again, in just the grasp of crack cocaine addiction, how was prayer involved in your recovery be where you are today?
When I actually quit everything on January 16, 2009, I actually prayed then. I said, "God, I want to be freed of the addictions and completely freed of the addictions," which the next day I was. But 2 months later, I went to a faith-based, I felt led to go to our church had a faith-based treatment center there. And I felt led to go there to find out why I was an addict in the first place. I had been to a lot of secular centers that did not work. And a lot of seeds were planted there. But all the way through, I actually met a gal in 2014. And she had something I didn't have. I didn't have, she said, you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I'm going, I said, well, what do you mean? I believe in God and I wear my cross on TV. I've been on there 2 million times. But she kept pushing me of this, having this personal relationship with Jesus. And we've prayed all the time. And on February 18, 2017, I actually went to it was called Operation Restore Warrior. It was actually for veterans. And I went in there with hope. And on the second day, they bring you back and all these things, trauma and stuff we have as childhood and things that happen then, I think, manifest into addiction. Well, they brought me back, and then I ended up doing a full surrender. And I walked out of there where now I can go out. And 2 months later, where a guy that couldn't talk was at U.S. Bank Stadium leading the prayer for 50,000 millennials at U.S. Bank Stadium. And so God played a big part, probably the biggest part. He was chasing me for years before I finally surrendered.
Mm-hmm. You know, I find it so interesting. You did briefly mention for a guy who didn't talk or couldn't talk, and I've heard you say that in interviews before, that you actually find yourself, you don't exactly like public speaking, maybe you're a little more introverted or something. I think a lot of people wouldn't even guess that because you are so, you're so dynamic in your commercials, right, and in all of the things that we see, right, as a society. So tell us what that's like.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, that's the biggest miracle. When you say, what are the odds on, my book, you have a 1 in a million, 1 in a billion. Well, and something that you would say couldn't be impossible. When does it become a miracle? Well, here's an example. When I did my first infomercial in 2011, my friends and family, we all pooled our money together and we filmed it in St. Paul. And it was just, they told me, you need to have an actor and you need to have this and that, and tell me all these things that why I was wrong and what I believed. I wanted to do something that was real with a real audience. And I had done shows, home shows and fairs throughout the Midwest for like 7 years. And there I could talk to people because I had, there was a table between us and people would come, there was an agenda where I would have a reason to talk to them. If I stepped out behind that table, I couldn't talk. And anyway, we went to do our reads the night before for the infomercial, and there was a producer there from California, and he actually texted the other guy as we were doing our reads. He said, "This is the worst guy I've ever seen. He will never make it on TV."
Oh, no.
And I didn't know that. But the next day, I was so afraid. I looked at the audience, and it took 1 hour to do one line. And finally, I said, "Can we just bring in a table like I did during the during my shows and take away the teleprompter?" And I just did it naturally. And then it aired October 7, 2011, and I had like 10 employees, and 40 days later, I had 500. But it's been really, it's been hard. I actually did my first speaking to a crowd over in 2016, and it was actually, I didn't just jump right into it. I went right into it. The then president or president candidate Donald Trump, they had reached out to me to speak in Minnesota before his rally, and 2 days before the 2016 election, and I spoke. It was 20,000 people there, and I'm sitting out in the tarmac, and I'm going, I can't speak to two people, much less this many. And this gal walked out to me, and she said, "Mike, I'm Michelle Bachman. You look like you need to pray." And I go, "Yes, we do." And I got up, and but it's been getting easier and easier. And, yeah, people don't know that about me.
The amazing story of Mike Lindell, as told in his book, What Are the Odds? From Crack Addict to CEO. It's a book raising funds to help launch the Lindell Recovery Network. Yes, you know about his success with MyPillow, which is in neighboring Minnesota. 1,600 employees, 43 million pillows sold as of last year. In 1982, Lindell became addicted to cocaine and alcohol and became addicted to crack cocaine in the late 90s. His addictions even stretched through the early years of the MyPillow business, which began in 2004. Due to those addictions, he lost his marriage of 20 years, as he said, his house, and nearly the MyPillow business, achieving sobriety through prayer in 2009. And now, in fact, he has launched the Lindell Foundation. Learn more at lindellfoundation.org. That's lindellfoundation.org. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGL Radio.